start now. We've got quite a few questions coming in up here and some more coming. Just to start off with one, you really painted a black and white, us versus them, evil versus good picture here. Is there no moral value at all to the other side on this thing?
What I tried to say was that imposing views on another group by force, to the point that you could argue we have a breakdown of law and order in our society, is not something that should be sanctioned or even ever tolerated by Americans.
This questioner says, some feminists complain that Supreme Court nominee Ruth Bader Ginsburg's views on the right of choice are not as broad-based as they should be. Do you agree?
I think she's a wonderful choice. I think she's fabulous. I think she's inspirational. I love what she said about her mother and that she wanted to create a world in which someday daughters would be as good as sons. I think that her comments about Roe v. Wade and looking at hindsight are part of her position. I think those theoretical discussions are good. I think that she has a very sound record of being very pure in her support of, obviously, women's rights and reproductive rights, and we will be delighted to work with her.
This questioner says that after Roe v. Wade, 20 years ago, pro-choice people grew complacent. Do you see complacency once again rearing its head in the wake of the Clinton's election?
That's one of the reasons why I'm here. I think that, as I tried to point out in my remarks, the murder of Dr. David Gunn, while it was an extremely unfortunate thing, provided a wake-up call for the nation. An alarm that made people recognize the fanaticism involved, and an alarm that made people recognize that we must take action as a society to ensure that groups do not by force impose their views on others.
A number of questions about RU 486. Do you expect RU 486 to be approved by the FDA, and if so, when? And how will this change the abortion debate?
That's a good question. Yes, we do expect that its approval. As you know, we will be conducting, with the Population Council, Planned Parenthood will be involved in conducting clinical trials on RU 486 very shortly. We expect that in probably a 2-3 year range that the drug will be brought to market. In the meantime, when the clinical trials begin, there will be about 2,000 women in America to whom RU 486 will be available. Now, we are very hopeful that RU 486 will serve to depoliticize the abortion debate. It will be an extremely more private matter for American women to just take a couple of pills. And it will be, I think, a benefit, and it's a very non-invasive procedure. So we're looking forward to participating in the clinical trials, and we look forward to its eventual marketing in the U.S.
The Clinton administration seems to be getting the message that it has to compromise substantially to get its programs through Congress. If the right to abortion issue becomes the major roadblock in health care reform, would Planned Parenthood oppose a health care proposal without the right to abortion, even if Hillary Clinton told you personally that that was the best she could get?
Well, I think Hillary is doing a wonderful job. This is not to cast aspersions on Hillary, but we are confident that pro-choice Americans will work to ensure that all reproductive health services, all women's health needs are met in the basic benefits package. And that's one of the reasons I'm here today, because Planned Parenthood is launching a campaign to ensure that reproductive health services are included in a benefits package, and of course that means abortion as well. And I think most of all, the women of America are not going to allow a minority of politicians in Washington pick and choose what's best for their health.
This maybe you answered all this, but can you suggest a way to avoid letting the fight over choice kill any chance to pass a new health care program?
Well, you know, Americans elected a pro-choice president, and polls show that most Americans expect that all reproductive health services, including abortion, will be in a basic benefits package. I think to allow a minority group impose its views on the majority of Americans would not be furthering. Women's health needs include all reproductive health care services, and we'll work to assure that they're met.
This questioner wants to know, why does Planned Parenthood not stress more proper sex education and birth control for both men and women, emphasis here, so that the whole abortion controversy could be made of secondary importance?
I'm not sure why that would make it of secondary importance, but Planned Parenthood serves many men. We, as you can see, our health agenda is entitled Healthy Women, Healthy Families. We provide many, many services for men, including HIV screening and testing, vasectomy, examinations. And so we are very interested in providing services for men, and already I think do a fairly good job of that.
Do you see any change coming in the attitudes towards family planning on the part of the Catholic Church?
God willing. You know, that's an important thing to keep in mind when we talk about the Council of Bishops opposing abortion in a basic benefits package. I mean, you're talking about a group of people, I respectfully submit, that don't believe in family planning and birth control. I think the church is a social institution, very entitled to its views, but clearly out of step with the majority of Americans where issues like birth control are concerned.
National minority group, national minority women's health organizations have raised important questions about the health effects and the coercive potential of the new contraceptives, Depo-Provera and Norplant. How is Planned Parenthood responding to these concerns?
Planned Parenthood is all about ensuring that all women of all denominations and races have reproductive control. From Planned Parenthood's perspective, the ability to control one's own reproductive destiny should not be denied any individual, nor should it be imposed by any institution in society. So that Planned Parenthood is very involved in the ethics debate from that point of view, and are working with many groups of color to ensure that these new reproductive breakthroughs are used in a proper and responsible manner.
Why do you think our government has been so slow in clamping down on Operation Rescue, the drive to shut down abortion clinics by violence?
I think because it's a woman's matter. I've been in healthcare for a very long time, and I think that women and abortion issues have been marginalized. I'm fond of reminding people that if this sort of thing, this kind of violence, occurred in emergency rooms throughout the nation, you could be sure that there would be great social outcry and that the government would probably send in the National Guard. So I think clearly it's a woman's matter.
With so many more women elected to Congress this year, are you seeing any kind of change in how Congress is approaching this problem? You say that because it's a women issue, it does not have the visibility. Are the women, the new freshman women in Congress, raising that visibility, or are you disappointed, or has it only been 5 months? and they too early to tell.
No, we're very, very pleased. The new women in Congress have been very supportive and working with us very closely. And they're, I might add, keeping a careful watch to see what comes out of the White House in terms of its basic benefits package. I think that the newly elected members of the Senate in particular have been extremely vigilant. People like Barbara Boxer have led the charge in terms of ensuring that a woman's right to choose is safe and protected. So we're delighted, and we look forward to having several new members next year.
Have Catholics for a free choice. I actually persuaded many members of the faith to become pro-choice.
Well, I think the answer is yes. I think that once, first let me say that most Catholics in America are pro-choice. Majority of Catholics in America believe in birth control, believe in choice, believe in divorce and remarriage, so that Catholics for Free Choice has done an outstanding job, I think, of educating the public about the need for greater acceptance and mutual respect and tolerance on these issues.
This question I asked, would you comment on the movement among Republican women for a pro-choice movement and its potential? Do you see the Republican Party moving even stronger towards the right, or do you see that the moderates are really making a comeback?
I think that the matter of the political religious right is a very important one for the Republican Party. Pro-choice Republicans have been wonderful, and obviously we worked closely with them during the last presidential election and continue to work closely with them. I see the Republican Party's movement in a more centrist mode. I think all Americans watched what happened in the last presidential campaign, and I look forward to new changes in the Republican Party that will be more pro-woman and more pro-choice.
How can Planned Parenthood help in making sure that the abortion pill is not used for the purposes of contraception? Doesn't the U.S. run the risk of having abortion becoming the preferred form of avoiding having more children, like the countries of Central and Eastern Europe?
Could you repeat that one?
Sure. How can Planned Parenthood help in making sure that the abortion pill is not used for the purposes of contraception? Doesn't the U.S. run the risk of having abortion becoming the preferred form of avoiding having more children, like the countries of Central and Eastern Europe?
Well, clearly, abortion is a form of contraception. To have it abused is another issue. Planned Parenthood, in concert with all the services we provide, does a great deal of education, provides sex education, education on prevention. The point I tried to make in my remarks today is prevention, reproductive health care, and prevention is what Planned Parenthood is all about. So that Planned Parenthood's and family planning in America already saves nearly $2 billion a year by preventing unwanted pregnancies. So the Planned Parenthood will continue its efforts in that regard, and hopefully with in this new era, while we have a pro-choice president and don't have to spend all our resources continually being on the defensive, be able to develop and initiate many new social programs, like a program that seriously provides greater outreach for teenagers and sex education for teens. And we have a teenage pregnancy epidemic. There are a million teenage pregnancies a year. So we will spend a lot of energy initiating new programs that will help rebuild our social fabric and help, to the extent we can, reduce the need for abortion.
Is there any place where President Clinton's record so far has fallen short for pro-choice?
So far, so good. Everybody's fond of saying that the president hasn't kept very many of his promises. So far, we are, I think, probably the only group. Pro-choice Americans are the only group that President Clinton has been very careful about keeping his promises to. As everybody knows, a couple of days after the inauguration, President Clinton, with one bold stroke of the pen, reversed many destructive family planning policies that we lived with for the past decade. We are hopeful, nonetheless, proceeding with cautious optimism, that he will continue this sterling record and live up to his campaign promises to ensure that all women's health needs are addressed in the White House benefits package.
During the 12 years of the Reagan-Bush administration, judicial nominees were believed to be subjected to a pro-life litmus test. Should judicial nominees in the Clinton administration reveal their support for reproductive rights?
Well, discussing one's qualifications for the highest court in the land, I suppose, is a separate matter. Let me just say that I'm happy they are revealing their support. I think, as I indicated before, that Justice Ginsburg's nomination will go a long way toward providing a badly needed balance to the court, a badly needed moderation, especially on the issue of choice and on issues of gender discrimination.
What is the position of the new Republican senator from Texas on reproductive rights? Do you consider her an ally or enemy of Planned Parenthood's agenda?
Well, I haven't had personal discussions with her, but let me say that my friends in the pro-choice community are urging that we proceed with cautious optimism in terms of being gleeful about the election results. We have found her to be reasonable. She says that she's an advocate of choice, but there are advocates of choice and advocates of choice. And so we're not really sure how pure ideologically Ms. Hutchison will be, but we'll look forward to working with her.
Do you think her election signals a movement back toward the right in politics here that could end up with a lot more Republicans who might not share your pro-choice positions?
I think that would be overreacting. I think, from what I could see, my friends in the Republican Party, I am very confident that during upcoming elections, we will see a new pro-choice face in the Republican Party. And I think probably in the not too distant future, we'll see Ms. Hutchison get on board as well.
This questioner would like to know, how much will the inclusion of funding abortion in the Clinton administration's health care reform proposal cost? Does Planned Parenthood have any specific figures on this?
I think the question is, how much will it cost if we don't include abortion? Is a better question. As I try to point out in my remarks, I mean, the lack of adequate family planning and abortion has had, I think, a rather devastating effect on our cities and towns in America. We pay, in effect, a hidden tax for the rate of crime and juvenile delinquency and the aid to families with dependent children program and the great social impact of not supporting abortion.
This question would like to know, have you met with Mrs. Clinton to express your view on health care? Are you part of her inner circle on health care reform? And if not, do you expect to get that chance?
We have met with Mr. Magaziner and Judy Fader, who are in charge of Mrs. Clinton's task force. I have not personally as yet met with Mrs. Clinton, but I look forward to doing that. I think that she's doing a yeoman's job. I think the fact that the Clintons are approaching it from such an inclusive, community-based perspective gets to the point that I tried to make early on in my remarks. They are indeed thinking of health as more than just the absence of disease. I think that that's a very important step in the right direction. And I, not to second guess the Clintons, but I have a sense that that's what the jobs package would have been all about. The important thing is that they come up with a sound political strategy now that, that meshes with their conceptualization, and I'm hoping to meet with Mrs. Clinton and other members of that task force to share our views.
During the Bush and Clinton administrations, a lot of support was denied for planned parenthood work internationally. How serious is the global population problem today? What has Mr. Clinton done to reverse, if anything, what happened during the Republican administrations internationally? And what should be the U.S.'s role in solving that problem? Take your time.
I think there again, shortly after he was elected, the Clinton administration took a bold step into the international arena. And recently, of course, Tim Wirth has been very clear that their international policy will advance family planning, and then that the United States will be very involved in ensuring that the world's resources are adequate to meet the health and social needs of people around the globe. Planned Parenthood is very involved internationally, and we are planning to set up, in effect, something that might look like sister satellites to ensure that other countries that wish get the help that they need.
This questioner says, in your remarks, you equated the killing of Dr. David Gunn with the beating of Rodney King. How are these incidents related? Are reproductive rights a civil rights issue?
Well, again, this gets back to the issue about health being a social phenomenon, social matter. If a homeless teenager, comes into a clinic and is admitted to a hospital for hypertension, it's a sort of silly thing for the nurse or physician to send her home and tell her to stay on a low-salt diet and get plenty of bed rest. It's gender issues as well as racial issues, and the need for social justice and social equality in our system are very part and parcel of one of the reasons why we have so many unmet needs and so many problems in healthcare that are also social problems. The murder of David Gunn is something that I tried to point out earlier, has to do with the fact that it's a woman's issue and has to do with the fact that abortion services are something that have been marginalized. I doubt whether you would see that kind of violence be condoned for a second in any other aspect of the healthcare delivery system.
Apart from abortion, you talked about many other women's health issues that you would like to focus on. And I was wondering if you could expand a little more. You talked about the number of hysterectomies, unnecessary hysterectomies, and the number of C-sections. How are you going to turn around your focus on this, and what kind of support, and what would you expect from Congress or the President on this?
Well, prevention, what needs to happen in health reform is that we must find a way to take a huge, sophisticated biomedical enterprise and focus more resources on trying to prevent the thing in the first place. We're great at unilateral cures, and we're great in fixing the thing after it's broken. We have to intervene to try and ensure that we prevent it in the first place. And the best place to start is in the reproductive health area. If you look at the major issues that are most pressing in healthcare in America, whether that's a high rate of infant mortality, or whether that's unnecessary surgeries, or whether that's lack of access to care, most of the problems directly affect reproductive health care, and specifically, and women and children. So Planned Parenthood is advocating that we begin with a strong program that includes everything from birth control and contraception and abortion services to prenatal care and well baby care and childhood immunizations, and we think that is the best investment that that we could make as a society in keeping people well and repairing a healthcare system that is a sick care system as it stands.
This questioner wants to know, do you think strengthening child support enforcement could be turned around by anti-choice groups, such as expectant fathers' rights, i.e. expectant fathers' rights to overrule choice by pregnant women? If strengthening of child support enforcement would give fathers more of a decision in abortion. How about that?
Well, I think that would be a step in the right direction. I mean, I think very often men and fathers are left out of the equation. You know, whether that's often by choice. I think the important thing to remember is that for American women, abortion is a line in the sand. Most American women don't get up in the morning and say, well, gee, I don't have anything to do. I think I'll go have an abortion. For us, mostly, it has to do with what my father said. And that is, a woman's body is her own property, and a woman, as a fully equal citizen, has a right to make up her own reproductive mind.
So this question says, on the health care plan, is 6 or 7 months long enough to deal with such a complicated matter? Could the haste lay waste to plans do more harm than good if the plan is rejected?
I don't think the plan is going to be rejected. I think it's an important thing to remember that health reform in America is occurring at the behest of consumers, not providers and not policymakers. So I think that even though we've gotten off to a couple of false starts, and even though it's going to be very difficult to do in a very comprehensive fashion like the Clinton administration has attempted to do, I think that eventually we will see health reform and we'll see a universal package of benefits that gives universal access to all Americans.
This questioner says, could you comment on Planned Parenthood's efforts in underserved areas, such as our nation's rural areas? Aren't Planned Parenthood's clinics more accessible to inner city and urban women?
Planned Parenthood has clinics. Planned Parenthood probably is the only healthcare delivery system in America that has clinics in every state in the nation, almost every, except for one. And in most cases, we're not simply in urban areas. We provide badly needed healthcare services. In many cases, we're the only provider that exists for the men and women we serve. And we are not simply in urban centers, but we are in cities and towns throughout the United States.
Okay, we're about out of time here. Before asking the last question, I'd like to present you with this treasured National Press Club mug.
Oh, wow, thank you. Delighted.
And a certificate of appreciation for appearing here. Just a reminder that audio and videotapes of Press Club lunches are available by calling 1-800-952-TAPE. We also sell Veg-O-Matics here in the office. The last question, questioner want to know, do you still consider yourself a Catholic?
Yes, I consider myself a Catholic, but in the final analysis, one's relationship with God is a very personal thing. I think organized religion is something that will never, for me, transcend that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.